sweet friends. Welcome to a special episode of the Lives of Courage podcast with me, Jessica Stong. This is part of our Mental Health Matters series, but I need to start out with a warning that this is a conversation about youth suicide. So perhaps this is too much for you. Perhaps this is too close to home, or you're riding in the car with kids and need to listen to it at a different time. But this is an invitation to begin the conversation on a crucial topic that changes countless lives around the world. This episode aims to shed light on the complex factors that contribute to this devastating issue that impacts so many lives. And we're going to explore resources for promoting conversations, but I really want you to join me as we shatter the silence and engage in a compassionate conversation about youth suicide. And friends, I want to first begin by acknowledging the gravity of the situation we find ourselves in today. The conditions in our world, the stigma attached to mental illness, and the way in which we have conversations about suicide and youth suicide. And in full transparency, I recorded a podcast episode, and now I'm re-recording it. You know, I strive to share my story, even the raw and painful parts that I desperately want to hide away. But as I shared before, I'm trying to walk that tightrope of really naming my experience and my emotions to help people see that they're not alone, whilst at the same time preserving my children's privacy and ability to share what they have gone through themselves in their own time. And my first attempt at trying to wrestle with presenting this topic, this material, because it's touched my life so deeply and so painfully, was not in keeping with my desire to protect my children's emotional experience and keep it out of the conversation as best I can and as messy as I can. So I'm trying again. I'm thankful for the space to revisit and redo and rewrite my story. And here's the deal. I'm going to give statistics because data matters, right? And it helps us put this conversation into context. We know that there's alarming trends. We know that there's rise in the rates of youth suicide. But it touches lives. People feel, children feel alone. Children ages 10 to 14 years, suicide is the second leading cause of death. First is accidents or unintentional injuries. Cancer is third. The leading cause of death among adolescents aged 15 to 19 is first accidents. Second, homicide, and third, suicide. And this comes from CDC data from 2021. You see, suicide is a tragic, devastating event. Suicide attempts are tragic and devastating. That impacts not only the individual, but their family, their friends, their community. And here is what we know, that there are often warning signs, but sometimes we don't see it coming. And so I'm going to share with you warning signs or causes, but there's no single cause. There's no single warning sign. There's there is so much underneath the surface, so much that we cannot see. But the work is in shattering the silence, is in having the conversations. I love the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. If you need any resources, you know, you can always reach out to me, hello@jessicastong.com, go to the livesofcourage.com website. But the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's website is incredible. And their web address is talkawaythedark.afsp.org. Talk Away the Dark. And I love that so much. Suicide occurs when there are stress issues or health issues, when those converge to create an experience of hopelessness and despair. And depression is the most common condition associated with suicide, and it's often diagnosed and untreated. But I will share with you my experience of watching adults who have committed suicide, adults who wrote textbooks, who wrote books on hope, who were lead researchers in the, who was a lead researcher in the positive psychology movement, who committed suicide. So I don't want to say that there's one thing, depression, anxiety, substance abuse problems, you know, they could be addressed, they could not be addressed. It increases the risk of suicide. It's multifaceted, it's complex, and it's crucial that we have the conversation about underlying factors that contribute it, the societal, psychological, environmental things that contribute to suicide ideation, to get early intervention and support. But I just feel so passionate about reminding you that it's not cut and dry, and it's not always that easy, and it's hard to find support, and it's hard to find people who will often take this seriously. I know that is unbelievable, but I can share with you, there were times that we went to the ER only to be turned away. So we know that there are environmental factors, access to lethal means such as firearms or drugs, prolonged stress, harassment, bullying, relationship problems, stressful life events like divorce, rejection, family's financial crisis, other life transitions or loss, exposure to another person's suicide, to graphic or sensationalized accounts of suicide. And it's a delicate balance because we need to be talking about it. But how do we do that in a way? And you've heard the controversy, I'm not going to get into it right now, but of shows that are trying to have these conversations. And I want to give you some warning signs to look out for, but know that it will be different and there might not be warning signs. So I just need to say that. That it might be underneath the surface, but one, changes in behavior or personality. If a youth starts behaving differently or showing personality characteristics, such as being, or not personality characteristics, but behavioral traits that look like becoming withdrawn or aggressive, it may be a warning sign. Feeling hopeless, if they're talking about having no reason to live, being a burden to others, feeling trapped, being in unbearable pain. And people who are considering suicide often display depression, anxiety, loss of interest, right? In their mood, humiliation, shame, irritability, anger, relief, sudden improvement. One of the behaviors that we look for is, are they giving away possessions? If they start making plans, or it might be that they're considering suicide. We know that when a young person withdraws from family or friends, it's a sign that they might be struggling with depression or another mental health issue. We look at changes in sleep patterns or eating habits. We look at substance abuse. They're trying to numb their pain or cope with difficult emotions. And so we understand that as a major risk factor. And one that is particularly confusing, but something that we need to talk about, is self-harm. If a youth is engaging in self-harm, such as cutting or burning themselves, it might be a sign that they're struggling with intense emotional pain. That could be a risk factor, but there is so much to this that I can't begin to get into because it's so tied to my experience. And we know that when it comes to preventing youth suicide, systems, support networks, care plays a pivotal role. It's important to create safe and inclusive environments where people feel comfortable seeking help and expressing how they truly feel without a parent reacting in a manner that would put the child off from shutting down, which was often the case in my story. I love, this is from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP.org, have an honest conversation. So this is the Talk Away the Dark campaign. Talk to them in private. Tell them you care about them. Ask them what's going on. Listen to their story. Ask them directly if they are thinking about suicide. This is not something that you will lead them to suicide. It is important to ask. Get them access to care. Contact someone. Everybody, I just want to shout it. If you don't know already, the crisis hotline, the mental health crisis hotline in every community in the United States, 988. Don't have to remember the phone number. It's 988. Assume, and they say avoid debating the value of life, minimizing their problems, or giving advice. You listen, you meet them with empathy, and you assume that you are the only one who will reach out. You don't wait for someone else to say something. And here's the deal. The stigma surrounding mental health often acts as a barrier to kids seeking help, right? We need and are encouraged, and no, it's our duty to challenge societal attitudes and foster a culture of empathy and understanding. So I'm going to try to summarize this, and I've tried to keep it short by highlighting just some resources, some care. Talkawaythedark.afsp.org, 911, but you'll find more in the show notes. You can go to theLivesOfCourage.com website and find more information. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for confronting this difficult topic. By breaking the silence, by fostering understanding, we can work together to save lives. Remember, no one should feel their struggles alone. If you or someone you know is in crisis, please reach out to the helplines, to the resources mentioned in this episode. Together, we can make a difference. And if you want to email someone about support or how to find support, I am always here. Hello@jessicastong.com. If you want to dig deeper, in this, I'm sharing my thoughts about relying on my faith and understanding of each of our spiritual lives as it relates to this difficult and painful topic. I share these extra episodes with my newsletter audience. So if you want to join the newsletter, you just go to livesofcourage.com. Thank you all so much. Have a great and courageous week. Remember, we can break the stigma. We can have conversations together. I love you all. Thanks so much.